Welcome to the Mass Device Fast 5 MedTech News Podcast, the show that keeps you up to date on the latest breakthroughs in medical technology with the top five news stories to get your day started. I'm your host, Executive Editor Chris Newmarker, filling in this week for Senior Editor Daniel Kirsch. Today, I'm joined by my co-host, Associate Editor Sean Hooley. Sean, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, today we'll discuss a new twist in a lawsuit against Medtronic, a new feature bolstering Dexcom CGM connectivity, Stereotaxis's big step toward commercializing its ablation catheter, a factory closure and more job cuts at Baxter, and an intriguing acquisition made by Haemonetics. Now, we'll actually start by talking about two of the stories that you covered today, Chris. So I'm going to flip the script and turn it on you. What's the first story we're going to talk about?
So the first story to talk about today, Medtronic may face a jury trial in a spine implants case in a U.S. District Court in Central California.
So what exactly happened here and what's sort of the history that built up to this? So
this was originally filed in 2015. This was a lawsuit that was filed by an LLC called the Dan Abrams Company. But I mean, its sole employee is a former Medtronic employee who filed this whistleblower suit. The suit claimed that there was fraud around the clearance and marketing of two Medtronic VertiStack spinal implant devices. And these devices are used for interbody fusion or vertebral body replacement. So this was filed back in 2015. Entire lawsuit got tossed out in 2019. But then in 2021, a federal appeals court, it reinstated one of the claims that claimed that Medtronic defrauded the FDA into granting the 510K clearance for the devices. And so then fast forward to 2024 here, Medtronic was, seeking to get that final claim tossed out. The federal judge in an order dated February 16th, rejected its arguments and said, things should, proceed forward, wants to get the lawyers together on March 18th for a status conference, regarding a jury trial.
Yeah, so what were some of the details of that judge's decision? Why did he come to that conclusion there?
Judge Cronstadt, first he looked at Medtronic's argument that, they had brought in, surgeons with expert testimony about, making the case that, the devices could be used in a non-contradicted manner. But, Cronstadt, wasn't totally persuaded. He said he still found, questions of fact after the testimony. That's enough to allow, the case to proceed forward.
And has Medtronic had any response to this decision here?
Medtronic has actually filed a motion asking the judge to reconsider. I mean, they're kind of, they're saying that he didn't consider particular issues in the case. They're saying, and then at one point they were saying he wasn't using the most up-to-date legal standards for admitting evidence. So, I mean, we'll see how that plays out. I have a request out with Medtronic Media Relations too, ask if they have any other extra comment about the judge's order, in this case. But I mean, it looks like this case is moving forward.
Yeah, well, we'll obviously be keeping an eye on that, and you'll, I'm sure, update the story. And perhaps by the time people are listening to this, there will be a full statement from Medtronic. But moving on to story number two, what do we have today?
Well, next in the news is we've got Baxter shuttering a facility in Massachusetts.
And did the company provide a reason for this facility closure?
Local media in Massachusetts caught this WARN notice filed with the state of Massachusetts. The WARN notice was saying that going to be a layoff with 59 workers at the Acton, Massachusetts facility. And in a statement that Baxter provided with us about this, decision, I mean, they described the decision as difficult. They said they're, moving the operations in Acton to another facility within, Baxter's whole supply chain network. So that's kind of in a nutshell about, what's going on. I guess a good extra note would be that this facility was only acquired by Baxter in 2021. This was part of their whole big $12.5 billion purchase of Hillrom.
Yeah, and it's interesting to note that comes as part of that acquisition. And obviously, it's been sort of an up and down few years for Baxter. And this isn't the first layoff related news we've had from them, right?
More than a year ago, Baxter announced a cost reduction program that included, I mean, they said at the time more than a year ago that they were cutting 5% of their company's global workforce. This was a response to what they called significant macroeconomic challenges. We've seen a lot of medical device companies kind of grappling with, you know, this kind of current economic environment. Yeah, you know, we've had inflation that luckily is cooling off, but, you know, there's been inflation, you've got high interest rates, you've got, you know, supply chain, you know, snarls, and then you add in like health providers having customers having all of their challenges as well. It's caused some medical device companies to need to refocus. So in Baxter's case, that looks like that included a 5% reduction in the workforce around the world.
Right. Well, now we'll flip a little bit backwards, and I will dive into story number three, if that's all right with you, Chris.
What are you going to be talking about next, John?
Yeah, Dexcom announced a new direct-to-watch feature for its G7 CGM and has some positive updates on automated insulin delivery connectivity. All of this will be presented at ATTD in Florence this week.
Tell me a little bit more about this new feature.
Basically, it means that G7 soon becomes the only CGM system that can connect directly to the Apple Watch without the need for the user to carry an iPhone with them. So it's just another added layer of convenience for people using their CGM with connected devices. I mean, the first thing that came to my mind is sort of an instance where maybe a person goes for a run, doesn't want to carry their phone with them, but could still check their glucose levels during heightened activity just by using their watch. So yeah, the company plans a phased launch for all G7 iOS users everywhere by the end of the second quarter of this year. And those who use G7 can access this feature as soon as Dexcom begins that launch in their country.
And what about automated insulin delivery connectivity?
Yeah, so Dexcom said it plans to present data demonstrating the clinically meaningful outcomes resulting from the use of its CGM with those AID systems. This includes results from using the CGM with both Tandem Diabetes Care's t:slim X2 pump and the Insulet Omnipod 5, two of the leading pumps on the market. We obviously recently had news about both of those technologies incorporating the G7. And now there's some data that further supports CGM integration into those systems, whether it's G6, the previous generation, or now G7. But on top of it all, Dexcom mentioned it expects to integrate G7 with the new Tandem Mobi pump in the second quarter as well. So a lot of positive updates on that front as well.
Yeah, like new features for, you know, people with diabetes. And I suspect Dexcom CEO was pretty optimistic about these updates.
Definitely. Kevin Sayer says the company has been moving at an extraordinary pace, noting that they launched G7 in 16 additional countries, released the Dexcom One Plus in 8 more geographies, and are now announcing the phase launch of that direct-to-watch. So he said that's two best-in-class products and a feature designed to empower even more people living with diabetes. He claims that the company has expanded access to Dexcom products by over 5 million people around the globe.
Oh, good deal. So what's our next story for today?
Stereotaxis submitted its magic ablation catheter for US and European approval. Company expects to have that catheter commercially available as soon as those approvals come through.
Tell us some more about this technology.
Yeah, so MAGIC is a robotically navigated magnetic ablation catheter that performs minimally invasive cardiac ablation procedures, incorporating design features meant to enhance patient safety, procedural effectiveness, and efficacy, and the patient and the physician experience, according to the company.
Wow, so they're like presenting data showing that this robotic technology can improve the outcomes. Tell me a little bit more about the clinical data that they're using to support these submissions.
Yeah, the company said its FDA and CE mark submissions follow successful clinical results in an ongoing trial, which only last month the company announced the first MAGIC treatments in the European trial supporting those submissions. Now, the company said it already observed stellar initial results there in the first 20 procedures, reporting 100% accurate efficacy and no adverse events with the ablation catheter in the study so far.
This news was coming out at the same time that Stereotaxis was reporting their fourth quarter results. I mean, anything that stood out there?
It's a positive with the regulatory submissions, but the company did come up shy of Wall Street expectations on revenues, with CEO David Fischel attributing some of the shortcomings to the loss of royalties and recurring catheter shortages from the company's partner, highlighting what he said is the importance of overcoming key product dependencies. But on the flip side, the company did highlight some expected milestones, including further development for its smaller, highly accessible robot, and it began formal testing for that system and anticipates European approval by mid-year, with FDA clearance expected in the second half of the year. So big things coming from Stereotaxis for sure.
Huh. Sounds great. Well, what's our final story for the day?
Haemonetics agreed to acquire Attune Medic, which develops an esophagus-protecting device. This is the company's second recent acquisition after it bought OpSens late last year. So it's interesting to see them sort of on the M&A prowl looking to expand its portfolio.
Oh, good deal. And what are the details of the acquisition?
Well, it includes an upfront cash payment of $160 million plus additional contingent consideration based on sales growth in the 3 years that follow the consummation of the acquisition. Those additional payments also hinge on other milestones, but the companies expect to complete the deal in the first quarter of Haemonetics' fiscal 2025, which ends on July 1st of this year.
And tell me more, what does Attune Medical do?
Yeah, so it develops the Enso ETM proactive esophageal cooling device designed to reduce the likelihood of ablation-related esophageal injury that occurs as a result of radiofrequency cardiac ablation. Basically, the system effectively reduces those injuries without requiring hospitals to purchase complex and costly new ablation systems. This Enso ETM system actually received FDA authorization for those RF ablation procedures in September of last year.
So how will this acquisition provide a boost to Haemonetics?
Stuart Strong, company's president of Global Hospital, said that the Enso ETM will bolster the company's presence in the electrophysiology market and complement its leadership in vascular closure. He called it a groundbreaking solution that the company looks forward to use to empower more physicians to improve patient outcomes while expanding its EP portfolio.
Well, that's all we have for today. Great as always to chat about the news with you, Sean.
Awesome. As always, read more on the Mass Device website and check out the show notes at massdevice.com/podcast.
And you can also connect with us online as well. I'm on LinkedIn, Chris Newmarker, just like a new marker. What about you, Sean?
You can find me on LinkedIn at Sean, Sean, Hooley, Whooley.
Oh, and subscribe to Mass Device Fast Five wherever you listen to podcasts and share this episode. Join us tomorrow for your daily MedTech News Roundup. Thank you for listening.